You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We'll be talking this week with CEOs and leaders from across the DC area about leadership. What's in the portfolio of these leaders? I'm not talking about stocks. I'm talking about leadership. I also want to remind you to nominate a business or individual right now for the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards for Business Leader of the Year and Leadership Business Leader of the Year. Visit leadersportfolio.com for details. Today on Leaders Portfolio, the oldest bank in Virginia, a Forbes Boost Your Business semifinalist, and a 100-year-old hardware business that furnished the presidential White House. We'll be getting to all those guests today on Leaders Portfolio. Our first guest in studio, the CEO and Vice Chairman of the Board of Burke and Herbert E. Hunt Burke. Welcome, Hunt, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Now, Burke and Herbert was established in 1852. I don't get to say that often on air here. It's the oldest bank in Virginia, the oldest continuously operating bank in the Washington area, and it provides personal and business banking. And you're a member of the fifth generation of your family.
That's correct.
And so when you were growing up, was it kind of just assumed you were definitely going to be at the helm of this someday? You had no other options. You couldn't be an astronaut.
I was actually trying to think of anything else other than being a banker. But I guess I failed at thinking of anything else.
And and so you just – and you probably – you know, you probably had so much training growing up before you even were running the business in a way, right?
Not really. You know, I didn't pick up much at the dinner table about how to run a bank or how to make loans and whatnot. So that that sort of came later at working at the bank.
But you started at age 13 working at the bank, though, a little bit. Or is that correct?
Yes, true. Sort of the mailroom up story. We started in the bookkeeping department looking at checks and making sure people had endorsed them and things like that. But again, a very technical, you know, low-level view of banking.
And one of the things, your bank was established in 1852, is your bank is really proud of the fact that you won't change names, you won't be acquired. And you say, unlike other banks, we'll be here tomorrow. See, that's kind of your brand, right?
Yes.
And the Street.com gave you an excellent financial strength rating in July of 2009. So I would like to know what you're doing differently.
We really have a long-term strategy, obviously. You know, we want to be here for future generations. We run the bank as though it were a trust left to us, and we don't own it. We're sort of the stewards of it, and we want to make sure that it can carry on the great traditions. And because we're long-term strategists rather than short-term, we're not looking every day to see, has our stock price gone up? We're making decisions for what we think are the right reasons to be there tomorrow and keeping our customers in the center focus.
And so how are you adopting? I'm sure some clients, I mean, every business, a lot of businesses are struggling right now. So how are you adopting to still help your clients when their businesses are struggling?
We've been through some recessions in the past, and we found that working with people is far preferable to pulling the rug out from under them. So, you know, you do that, you pull the rug out from under somebody, and you're in a down real estate market, and your collateral may be impaired. So, there's really no reason to play hardball when you can finesse your way, and then you've got a customer for life, if not for generations.
If you were there with them during the hard times.
Absolutely. They remember that.
Now, do you get frustrated because you keep hearing on the news all this, you know, there's so much instability across the banks and we, you know, bailed all the banks out. And do you get frustrated and you kind of want to say we're not all doing bad?
Well, it's funny. When this thing first broke back October of last year, I heard on the radio somebody was saying the little banks are going to be the first to go, and my response was the weak banks are going to be the first to go. And because the A rating that you mentioned with the Street.com, we're a very sound bank, and we'll be here for a long time to come. So it has nothing to do with the size of the bank. It has to do with the stability of the bank and the financial depth.
And you've got you've really got your pulse on businesses in this area, probably similar to how I get to see a little bit bird's eye from talking all these different CEOs. But how are businesses doing?
Well, there are a lot of people that are struggling. There's a lot of retail. You know, there's a lot of unemployment still. Read this weekend that the recession's over. I was happy to hear that. But there are an awful lot of people that are still looking at unemployment, and real estate prices are going to be a long time coming back. People's stock portfolios are going to be a long time coming back. So there are a lot of businesses that are still struggling day to day, you know, trying to make it.
And I want to talk a little bit about your story. We're talking with the CEO and Vice Chairman of the Board of Burke and Herbert E. Hunt Burke. And you have a bachelor's from George Mason, grad school of bank management at UVA, so you're a local guy. And what's your kind of leadership philosophy for how you handle either it could be employees, it can be clients, it could be how do you lead the business?
Well, first of all, I cheat. And
I haven't heard that one before.
surround myself with great people. We've been really fortunate at Burke and Herbert. Again, that long-term strategy, we get a lot of people that are very loyal in customers and employees alike. So there's a lot of satisfaction in our employment ranks, and so we've got great people. And we bring on and develop good people, which we're currently doing as well. So we've got a terrific team that's brought the bank through a lot of hard times, and we know what to do, and we're very careful with our dollars and our expenses, and at the same time, we try to bring on good people when we find them. And right now is a pretty good time to find people because there's some upheaval in the banking industry, obviously.
Excellent, excellent. And so what areas are you focused on now? One would be hiring somewhat, which you don't hear that much right now, so that's kudos to that. What are some of the other areas that you're focused on for the bank?
We're still growing in a measured sort of way. We open a branch or two a year, so right now, again, with commercial real estate being sort of in flux, there's some good opportunities coming up that we've locked into. So bringing on good people, growing the bank, always watching profitability and watching for what's going to happen next. You know, is there going to be a commercial real estate snafu, or if the economy comes around, are rates going to go up quickly? Some people say not. Some people say they are to stem inflation. So we're trying to hedge our bets and know that in a couple of years that we're going to be in the same good position that we are today.
And how long have you been in your current position?
Since July.
And you said you came up from the mailroom.
That's correct.
So you've done everything. Have you been a bank teller?
Yes, I have. Except I didn't always come out with the right number of pennies at the end of the day. Don't tell anybody.
And what was your favorite job?
Favorite job might have been in management training. We learned to make loans by collecting bad loans, and the thought was back in those days that if you looked carefully at how people were doing and how we got into trouble to begin with, that you'd learn how not to do that in the future. And we really made some connections with people though, and I actually ended up making loans to some of the people that we collect, that we had mm-hmm. to collect payments from and whatnot, because you got to know them pretty well. And even when someone would go bankrupt, they might still pay their loan back to Burke and Herbert just to keep a local friend.
And what lessons do you think the banking industry are going to learn from this economic crisis?
Hopefully they're going to learn that there's too many banks. I don't know. It seems to me that there are banks on every corner, and I don't know where all the business comes from. But also they should learn something about excesses at the top. We don't have that same problem, but an awful lot of people make an awful lot of money. I would take half their salary to run a good bank into the ground, as some of these big executives have done with the big banks. But honestly, I think they're going to learn to get back to basics, like a Burke and Herbert or your basic community banks, which across the country are doing fairly well.
Do you think the big banks, or what do you call them, the box banks? The box banks
right.
will go out of more of them will not go out of business, but reduce their branches. But the community bank number will rise.
I think there's an awful lot of waste in bureaucracy in the larger your institution. It's just harder to keep a handle to the point where at the largest institutions, they've been accused of people not even knowing what they're doing mm-hmm. at the top, not having an eye on the entire operation. So it's really nice to be our size, a couple billion-dollar bank and 20 branches where we know everybody and we know what's going on and we can see the results when we make a decision. It's almost instantaneous that you can see whether it was successful or not.
Excellent. And what is you said possibly some branches, but what's your long-term plan for the company?
Long-term to keep the customer as the number one reason we're in business and serve the community. That community may get a little wider, but we're not looking to be a regional powerhouse or anything like that. We really want to serve Northern Virginia. Possibly one day go into Maryland and D.C., but in my lifetime, I don't see us, becoming a $100 billion bank and covering the region or anything of that nature.
One of the drawbacks to a community bank, and I'm asking you to respond to this, is, the ability if you're in Vegas to, hey, I can't withdraw more cash for a casino. I guess you could, but you can't find your bank everywhere, basically.
What's your response to that? Because I'm sure you've heard that.
Sure. My response is, first of all, if you have a bank on the West Coast and you can walk into an office in Virginia, they're not going to know you or possibly even be able to do business or take deposits because it's not the same bank. Secondly, if you are in Vegas and you need money and you're in a tough spot, you could always call somebody who you know and they could probably figure it out and wire some money out to you or something like that. The only thing that people find inconvenient is that we don't have ATMs on every street corner across the country, and we're working on that. That, you know, a lot of banks have come out with programs where they pay your ATM fees if you keep a certain balance. Mm-hmm. Some sort of compromise, I guess, is the right thing to call it. But really, we've got people that live all around the world that still bank with Burke and Herbert, that live all over the country, that have retired or moved on or whatever, and they still find ways to bank. You know, their paychecks are automatically deposited, and people will take their checks or their debit cards anywhere in the world.
Excellent. And what has been the hardest part of your job? We're speaking with the CEO and Vice Chairman of the Board of Burke and Herbert, E. Hunt Burke. Or is it all hard? I wish you could see his face right now. He's got this face like, oh.
It's really enjoyable. You know, 9 out of 10 letters and calls that I get are from people who are happy, which is really unusual in a bank specifically. I guess the hardest part is you know, not knowing the future and knowing, you know, what things are going to do, how the economy is going to do. But we are preparing ourselves and hopefully we'll continue to do well in good times and bad.
And I was joking with you earlier about how, you know, did you want to be an astronaut when you were growing up, or what was your other profession? So if you weren't a banker, what would your other profession be?
I guess an English teacher.
Okay.
Somebody told me I'd be a good English teacher or an Episcopal priest, but I don't know. I don't think I would get into the priesthood. They'd probably throw me out.
Well, you probably got the caring thing,
right?
That's the caring thing with the banker. So, excellent. And tell us a little bit about kind of the, you know, we've heard all these different CEOs who have predictions on turbulence, and do we think it's going to come back Q2 of 2010? What, do you have a prediction? When's the economy going to kind of be getting a little bit better?
I think we're going to see steady progress here on in. Yes, there'll be bumps up and down, but I'm fingers are crossed. I'm not hoping for any major catastrophes. And it's, you know, the unemployment is my biggest worry.
Which is still predicted
right
to climb.
And I can't tell you what the answer is there.
Well, I want to say thanks for joining us, Hunt. And we actually share something in common because you worked for your parents' bank, this bank, at age 13. And I did a similar thing. I worked at my parents' businesses. And you know what my first job with, this is true, was cleaning toilets for their business. I really did that. That was my first job when I was 10 and 11.
Teaches you a little humility.
It does,
it?
Right? And you know what I always say is I didn't look at it like it was a weird job. I thought it was the greatest job in the world, you know? And you, like you said, you were in the mailroom doing checks and looking for, so it's great. But thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'll bring some Comet next time I come in a scrub brush.
Okay. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith here with us this CEO and Vice Chairman of the Board of Burke and Herbert, E. Hunt Burke, here on Leaders Portfolio. Up next, a Forbes Boost Your Business Top 20 semi-finalist. That's all here on Leaders Portfolio and on leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.